Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another show. This is your girl, Karina Dean, and we are on Astro Geeks. I have a special guest in the house, Beach. Say what's up.
What's good? What's good? It's your boy, The Beach.
And I'm also bringing on astrologer Martel from Daddy Long Legs. So before we bring Martel on, we're just going to give you an intro into our beginning of the series, and this is the Black Moon Lilith.
Ooh.
Now, the whole perception of Black Moon Lilith varies in many ways. But Beach, could you break down for us the commercialized, marketed portrayal?
So, yeah, coming from the fan perspective and not so much the expert, I've heard of Lilith a lot, and actually it's a lot through different forms of media in the world today. You could find it in anime, the character in certain animes, to video games. I know that there's a character, Lilith, in Devil May Cry, and there's a character, Lilith, in the famous game Darkstalkers, in which she plays a succubus. Also, definitely all throughout TV, she's been a character on Supernatural. She's been a character on Doctor Who. And I think most notably, she was the vampire queen in the TV show True Blood. You know, so gathering all of that. Also, there is a music album or group, I believe, that makes dark ambient music. You know, so Lilith is pretty much always had some kind of perception or connotation of being dark and mysterious, you know, and deadly even, as she's a fighting character in the video games and whatnot. And even the popular flower, the Lily of the Valley, is a beautiful looking flower that's sometimes used in weddings. It's very expensive, so that's how you know how rare it is, beautiful looking flower, and it gives off a wonderful, wonderful scent, but it's also very highly poisonous. So, you know, there's a whole different, lots of patients of Lilith, but still it's very unknown.
Yeah, that was a great breakdown too. Another movie is with Viola Davis and Jennifer Lopez, and it's Lily and Eve.
Mm.
And so when you're talking about the Lily of the Valley flower, where it appears to be pure and innocent but is poisonous, this is kind of that concept of the splitting of the feminine. And there's a pure and a light part, and then there's a more darker and, you know, more rebellious and maybe impure part, right? The succubus, as you say, or the vampire. And even in portrayals of the vampire, what does the vampire do? It actually, when you kill a vampire, it turns into dust. So there's actually some theories about Lilith being in Genesis and being portrayed as the dust. Because when you think about Adam and Eve, Eve is Adam's, what they would say, second wife. And when you look at the word Adam, really you can see it also as A-T-O-M, like the atom that makes matter, in which the etymology of Adam can go to say that it's androgynous, or it's male and female. So the story of Lilith in the Bible is either connected to the dust, because man is made from dust, and then Eve is made from his rib, so Eve would be the second feminine. In mythology, Lilith is the first wife of Adam, and the story goes even deeper. They say that Lilith doesn't want to just be in one sexual position. She feels repressed in that position, and she wanted to try, you know, different, more explorative parts of herself and her sexuality. And because she wasn't accepted, she was seen as a cast out, and that's why Eve is Adam's second wife. So it's passed down in different ways, even in the Old Testament and even in pagan and witchcraft. And actually, in the pagan world and Wicca, they preserve the concept of Lilith to be connected to the serpent, which is also in the Bible. And also, they preserve the concept of goddesshood and divine goddesshood. So there's a depiction of Lilith in which she's the dark goddess, right? Or, well, that is the depiction. She's a dark goddess in which there are many levels where she can go, where it can be, you know, quite scary to people and negative, but there's also a divine need for that nature. And it's maybe portrayed as the cast out or that part of us that we is repressed or doesn't want to be repressed. So with that being said, let's go ahead and bring on our guest for tonight. And we have Martel from Daddy Long Legs Astrology. Martel, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
What's good? What's good? How you doing, man?
Chilling, bro. How are you doing?
All right, all right.
So we just laid out a whole paintbrush of colors about Lilith, and she's actually also considered to be said Lilith. The word is also Lilith in some cultures. But now we're going to dig into the astrological portrayal of Lilith. So, Martel, could you help us out here? What do you have to say about Lilith in the stars and how it works in our chart?
One thing I'd like to point out when you brought up the whole Adam analogy, Adam and Eve analogy, and how Adam is the derivative of Adam. And you have, my interpretation of that is like, you know, you got both extremes, you got positive and negative. And in order for it to work in harmony, you know, both has its place, and one is, and neither is higher than the other, even though I think the Western mind tends to think of anything masculine as higher, you know, anything feminine as lower. But you really, they're working in harmony, because there can't be one without the other. If, even if Eve didn't exist, you know, even though she came from his rib, like, we would have no balance, we'd have no harmony in the universe, you know.
Absolutely.
But at, but as far as the chart, when I see it in people's like natal charts, I think it represents the part of us that is almost individualistic, the part of us that, you know, just wants to move separately out of the context of anything else. And if we go there, even though it's alluring to go there, you know, Lilith is a very seductive sign, is a very intriguing sign. So depending on the sign it's under, it is a certain theme of things that are both dangerous but alluring.
Absolutely. And Lilith is, from the moon's perspective, is actually the shadow or the dark spot, like, or they would say the black orb. So I feel
right.
Like it's a part that is kind of like a blind area, like maybe without astrology, one could not be able to put a finger on it, you know, but astrology really allows us to put words to it. So
right.
let's go into how we can make this more practical, right? Because I know, Beej, you're coming from a more practical point of view, and as people who are new to astrology, we want to learn more about it from that sense.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm an artist, so basically, what intrigues me the most about Lilith is, you know, the dark aspects of ourselves, I think, you know, the true unknown parts of ourselves, well, the known parts, but unknown to us, you know, like in our conscious mind. I was just wondering, what do you think would be a good way, you know, without getting into the specifics of the different astrological Lilith signs and whatnot, what do you think would be a good way so that an artist, you know, or anybody could use information about Lilith to help them become a better, you know, artist, person, whatever?
It's a great question. I would say partially is about embracing it because it's there for a reason.
You know, the amazing thing about Lilith is that everybody has it. So even the most sweetest looking person you might see, like, you know, walking down the street, has Lilith. So there's a deep and dark side to everybody. And I think it's important to understand your Lilith, break it down, and make an effort to utilize it in the most positive way. Because it's through not controlling it and just leaving it be and ignoring it where Lilith really wreaks havoc.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's great. I agree with that because, you know, all of us, that's first off for me, when you say that, it does help me think about the fact that, you know, I know I'm a Pisces, so I know I have a dark side, but I can be a little bit more embracing of it when I think about the fact that everybody does, you know, because a lot of people carry shame with their dark energies. And, you know, that actually destroys their creative nature and whatnot, as opposed to build it up. So I think that's a very, very, very good astute point, a good way of looking at what Lilith is. So, you know, I'm interested in going on more. Karina Dean, what you think?
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you some questions, Martel, going through the Zodiac. So that people can, especially if you are an artist, you can relate to these parts of you and maybe through this experience as we begin the series and going through the Zodiac that you could find areas in which you can express yourself through this. Now, I have to bring it all back to time, and I just think about Kali and the dark goddess Kali and how that a fragment of the word Lily or Li is in that word. And then you could just see in that concept of Hindu astrology and their mythology that the Kali and the Kali Yuga is actually connected to the cycles of time and the destroyer of time. So Lilith also is actually in a certain time in your chart. Everything in the chart is about time, and where she falls is about your destruction energy in a lot of ways as well, in which maybe you transcend time or maybe you can play with it in ways that it's tamed, but it also has a way to express itself in life. And that's why I think that there may be three levels to accessing your Lilith placement. And there's this great website called Astro Esoteric Pro who has their own levels, and maybe we can use these levels of first level being more inferior and being maybe more naive, and this is where we just fall into the trap of being, you know, vampirism and succubus and just like all of the darkest energy maybe. And then you've got the intermediate level and then a superior level. So maybe as you're going through these levels, you can mature this aspect of yourself, right?
Right, absolutely.
I'll start with Lilith and Aries.
Okay.
So Martel, could you help me with this? Let's start with a inferior aspect, maybe just an overall point of view of this orbit, and then we'll start with the first level.
Okay, the first level to me is like it's in its raw form. So usually the people that don't even know anything about Lilith, they might have this and not know why. But in Aries, I think what might speak to the person is need to be like overly domineering and, you know, maybe a little selfish, blind rage, you know. These might be traits that, you know, deep down inside they want to be. They might not actually act on them. Some people, you know, depending on your chart, you don't act on it, but it's like a fantasy. It almost reminds me of Fight Club, where, you know, you find out that Brad Pitt's character is actually a figment of Ed Norton's character. Like, this is his, like, ultimate manly version of him, you know? When I think of Lilith and Aries, I very much think about that movie. You know, it's about taking charge and about, you know, really tapping into that dark side, you know, and everything it means. That's I think also, because it deals with past lives, you know, I feel like Lilith and Aries would have like a assassin past life, or, you know, maybe a warrior, you know, somebody who's killed a lot, you know, a lone warrior that, you know, just kind of lives for themselves, you know, doesn't care about anybody else, and it's almost the reason why they're able to do these, you know, murderous things, almost like a sociopath, you know, just like very cut off and just thinking about moving forward and not really thinking about how these consequences, the consequences of their actions affect, you know, people collectively.
That was fantastic. And when you are margin energy, I feel like this is just pure, like, killer, and, like, this can really be somebody who takes it too far. So I really feel like Aries and Scorpio would be, you know, really the ones who might exhibit this energy in the most intimidating way. So what would you say would be an advancement to this energy? Like, the next level?
I think the next level would be, again, I think since Lilith could have a tendency to, is the rebel, is the one that, you know, moves away from what we understand to be normal. I think it's about taking it back to the collective and seeing how you can use these desires, which are skills, because if you really desire something, I strongly believe that if you have a strong desire, you should not repress it. You should explore it. So I think what Lilith in general, but, you know, Lilith and Aries, is about using those desire to be a leader, a desire to be domineering and dominant over people. You can, you know, practice martial arts, and that might kind of help hone that particular warrior energy that's inside of you and use it constructively, you know, use it to defend people, you know. Maybe you want to be a bodyguard. Maybe that's a fantasy that a person with a Lilith and Aries has, you know, and just always being kind of prepared physically for any situation. But, again, using it, you know, in the most positive way, teaching children martial arts and how to kind of channel that Martian Aryan energy. And, yeah, I think those are two things that can really help tame it, for lack of a better word.
I like how you said bodyguard, because I really, to add on to this, would say working with exercise and working with, like, martial arts and working with moving your body could also help to release a lot of that fire that really is repressed inside of a little area. So that was fantastic, and thank you for that. And let's have Beach go through some of the celebrities, actually, that are born with Lilith and Aries.
Okay, yeah. So we got Michael Jackson.
Okay.
You know, you could possibly see, you know, maybe some, or you could imagine some behind the scenes footage that they don't got, where Michael Jackson
right. Is
in true diva form, you know, and he's making things happen the way that he wants, you know, when he wants. Type of situation, you know, him taking over Sony and buying the Beatles collection and whatnot, him trying to do that, I think that was a very Lilith and Aries move, you know. We also have Albert Einstein. We have Katy Perry and Scarlett Johansson.
Ah, okay.
Yep, in which she plays, you know, that role kind of well in movies. You know, she's the Black Widow in the Avengers. You know, somebody who can definitely fight, kick your ass, but she also has that, you know, seductress. She's got the red hair, you know what I'm saying, and all that. So I think that's very interesting. Also, these next two, Mahatma Gandhi is Willis and Harry. And Kurt Cobain is a Lilith and Harry. Which, you
that
know,
last
very
one, Kurt
interesting.
Cobain is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, I think maybe signs of his, if his life showed that maybe he wasn't able to handle his Lilith and Aries, maybe.
I think.
You know, type of situation.
But I think of Kurt Cobain because I know he's a Pisces. And I think that Pisces inclination to kind of, you're kind of in that spiritual realm. You're kind of in your head a lot. Your imagination is a strong thing. And, you know, having that deep desire to dominate, but maybe not having the tools or, you know, the accessibility to be able to do that is what might have caused, you know, his suicide, you know, and also almost a way of taking charge, I would say. A way of saying, like, you know, you guys thought you could do this, but I'm going to show you. And, you know, this transcended.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, I always find that Pisces is born with some strong somewhere, you know, in most Pisces charts. I always find that to be. So that's always interesting. So let's go ahead and move on to Lilith and Taurus. So what would you say would be the raw energy of Lilith and Taurus?
First thing that comes to mind is like gluttony, maybe possibly like a gambler. Anything that kind of entices like the senses, you know, whether it be material possessions or, you know, maybe obesity because you want to eat. You just get enamored by just the taste of food and, you know, you know, even darker, maybe like a drug addict where the drug is just, the feeling of it is just so addicting and it's like you can't control it and you just get immersed in, you know, whatever these negative feelings are because they feel good, but they're not constructive.
Absolutely. And since Taurus rules over the, you know, like the throat and the mouth and the things that you taste, I love how you mentioned that. And would you say that this would be somebody who is repressed in their voice, or is it somebody who is like can go too far with their voice? Like, do you think it's a more repressed energy? I'm not quite sure myself.
I think it might be more of a aggressive, like maybe saying the wrong things, or maybe just like speaking through feeling, but not really able to articulate it. Maybe this outburst.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Lilith and Gemini might be more of a inhibited voice, you know.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah. But you know,
absolutely.
Other parts of the chart might determine whether you know they keep that to themselves or they just let it out.
I definitely see Lilith and Taurus as like lava. Like that's the like it's gonna be earth, but like there's a part of that part of you that's gonna like, you know, create an earthquake or like shake the ground somewhere, and it may come on at points where you don't recognize it, but then this person might just, you know, snap. So this could also be maybe that kind of like you really don't see it coming energy. What would you say is the mature energy for Lilith and Taurus?
Mature. I think...
the next level up.
I think teaching people how to gain stability, how to... I think in general with Lilith and Lilith being this domineering energy in general, this whatever sign is under, I think once you give Lilith the role of a teacher or almost a purpose, because this is a exiled energy. This is a person that's been told, you know, that what they are isn't worthy of being part of this world. So hence why, you know, she's exiled. And I think the best way to help that a person like that heal is to, you know, help them teach whatever is a deep, dark desire for them. So in Taurus, I think stability is important. I think maybe helping drug addicts, like, you know, get over their addiction. Maybe getting into culinary art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things that make these desires more constructive.
Yeah, I think being resourceful all around, definitely a little Centaurus could be a gardener that, like, takes it to the next level where that, you know, like, seeds and plants and what you eat could be money as well, in that sense that you could feed the people, you know, in the sense of still having a presence and also finding money and worth. So I really think that little Centaurus has a lot of resourcefulness in that nature.
Absolutely.
So,
it's interesting. There's a book that I'm reading now. I showed it to you called Black Moon Lilith, and it's by M. Kelly Hunter. And one thing I noticed that in the book, she uses the polar opposite of the sign as a way of healing. So, you know, if we're in Lilith and Taurus, you know, tapping into that Scorpio energy, which is about, you know, outside resources and kind of utilizing other people, it kind of helps, like, bridge the gap and helps in the healing process that comes with, you know, having Lilith and Taurus.
Yes, absolutely. Now, let's move on into our celebrities who have Lilith and Taurus, because we're running out of time. So, Beach, why don't you go ahead and list off a few celebrities?
Okay. So, on the top, we got Adolf Hitler.
Ooh. Okay.
We've got Nicole Kidman. We've got Lady Gaga. Yeah, Queen of Dean was saying she, you know, she's got weight issues at times. So, you know, that may be something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shakira. Julia Roberts. And your boy Kanye West.
Aha. Okay.
That was a good surprise there, Kanye West.
Yeah.
All right, so much. We're going to have to end our show for tonight, and we'll be back with Gemini at the top of the next show. Thank you, Martel, for joining us from Daddy Long Legs Astrology, and have a great night. Peace and love.
Peace, fam. Change me. 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 Change me.